Morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Ervin, Daf Gimel, the second day of the Masechta. We started yesterday by learning the halachas regarding a mavuin, specifically about a korah. So just quickly to review what we did yesterday. So we talked yesterday about the mavuin sasam, that's the alleyway where a lot of chatzeros lead into the alleyway, and the alleyway then goes out into the street into the Rishus Rabbim. It is a Rishus Yachid, it's a private domain. There's no question about that. The only issue becomes that there's only just one step that would go from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus Yachid, from the street into the Mavui. And the Chachamim were concerned about that more than any other Rishus Yachid. And so in order to be able to carry in a Mavui, so it needs to be rectified. It needs a tikkun. What exactly is that rectification? So our first discussion, which we started with yesterday and we're going to continue with today, is that of a Korah. So at the entrance of the Mavui, what you're going to do is just simply place a horizontal beam along the length of the Mavui. And people will look up, they'll see the horizontal beam, and then now they'll know, okay, good. This is where the Mavui ends, that's where the street begins. Obviously, you're going to place the Mavui at the very edge, at the very exit of the, you're going to place the Korah at the very exit of the Mavui. Okay, and this is what we've been talking about yesterday, and this is what we are continuing to talk about today. So from yesterday, what do we know? Yesterday, we talked about height. The singular discussion of the Mishnah was the question of how high can the Korah be? So the Tanakhama in our Mishnah says it cannot be higher than 20 amos. If once it's higher than 20 amos, so the Gemara doesn't explain this, the Mishnah doesn't explain it, that comes to today's daf, but as we will see today, the reason why it can't be higher than 20 amos is because it's no longer recognizable. 20 amos is approximately 40 feet high, so once it's 40 feet in the air, I mean, you can look up, you can see it, but it's going to be very hard. And the whole idea behind the Korah is that it's going to serve as a hecker, it serves as a way to recognize. Although I'm giving you one version of the Gemara, but it's for now, it's just simple introduction. It'll be perfect. So the therefore, it has to be within 20 amos. Similar to, in fact, the Gemara notes it yesterday, and the Gemara will note it again today, similar to the halacha of sukkah. When it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, so we know that there has to be schach on the top of the sukkah. We know that really the entirety of the sukkah is all about the schach. In fact, that's why it's called sukkah. That's what Rashi says in the Masechta of sukkah. So the sukkah can also not be higher than 20 amos. The schach cannot be higher than 20 amos. If, in fact, the schach is higher than 20 amos, the sukkah is not a good sukkah. It's possible. The first discussion we saw yesterday is that in our Mishnah, when it talks about the halach of height, it says if it's higher than 20 amos, you lower it. In the first Mishnah, the sukkah says if the schach is higher than 20 amos, so then it's possible. It's no good. And we discussed yesterday why in our Masechta, the Mishnah is taught with a tikkun, meaning the Mishnah tells you how to rectify it, or meanwhile, in the Masechta and sukkah, possible, meaning it's absolutely no good. And obviously, if you lowered it, it would be better, but why the Mishnah over there doesn't just simply say lower it? And that was a discussion we had yesterday, and the Gemara gave two proposals. And then the rest of yesterday's discussion all revolved around the statement made by Rav. Where do these numbers come from? How do we know that your Mavui, that your Korah, can't be higher than 20 amos? Where does that halacha come from? So Rav says that in our Mishnah, by the way, I failed to mention an important part of our Mishnah, which is Rav Yehuda argues. In our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says it can be higher than 20 amos. He does not give a maximum height to how high the Korah can be, but Rav Yehuda argues and he says it can be even over 20 amos. Now, the rest of yesterday's daf was all around the statement made by Rav. Where do these numbers come from? Where do the Tanakhama know that it cannot be higher than 20 amos? So, explains Rav, learned it from the entrance of the Heichal. Now, in this room, I do not have my trusty picture behind me, but it's fine. It'll work either way. As you walk into the Heichal, you're going to be walking through two entrances. The entrance of the Ulam, and then you walk into the entrance of the Heichal. Now, the entrance of the Ulam was a huge entrance. It was 40 amas high, 20 amas wide. And then as you stepped another step forward into the Heichal, so that entrance was a standard size of 10 amas wide, 20 amas high. So Rav attempted to explain yesterday that's the source of these two positions. Whereas according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, he learns it from the entrance of the Heichal. And since the Heichal was no more than 20 amos high, so too your Korah can no longer be more than 20 amos high. That's the Tanakhama. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, no, it can be more than 20 amos high. Now there's difficulty in this explanation, the Gemara pointed out yesterday, primarily according to Rav Yehuda. Because if Rav Yehuda, the whole source of the halach of Korah is that because of the entrance of the Ulam, so why doesn't Rav Yehuda cap the Korah at 40 amas high? He doesn't give a cap. And in fact, in the Brisos that we learned yesterday, we discussed a couple of Brisos yesterday, the Brisos says very clearly that once you have a that you could put a korah as high as you want. 40 amas in the air, 50 amas in the air, says the Braisa, according to Rav Yehuda. So that doesn't sound like he's learning it from the entrance of the Ula, and the Gemara conceded that point. Point well taken. He doesn't learn it. Rav Yehuda doesn't learn it from the entrance of the Ulam, but rather he learns it from the Palace of Kings. Palace of Kings have an unbelievably large entrance, and yet, of course, it's still an entrance. So too, by a mavui, any height of the korah would be fine. Okay, that is Rav had to abandon ship in terms of his explanation. Rav Yehuda, what about his explanation of the Chachamim? So it sounds like from yesterday's end, and as we continue through today's daf, it sounds like Rav is still going to stick to his guns. That the reason why the korah cannot be higher than 20 amos is because as you enter into the heichal, the entrance is not higher than 20 amos, so too, the korah cannot be higher than 20 amos. The Gemara noted yesterday, and this was the last point we made yesterday, and now we're going to continue to today's daf. The Gemara noted yesterday that, well, that's going to be a little bit difficult to understand because in our Mishnah, what do we learn? That if you make it Tzuras HaPesach, Tzuras HaPesach is two side posts and a lentil going over the top of the two side posts, so then the entrance can be even wider than 10 amas. And it can be even higher than 20 amas. So once you have a Tzuras HaPesach, so now there's no neither height or width restriction. So according to you, Rav, where the whole halacha is being learnt from the heichal, well, of course, the entrance to the heichal had a Tzuras HaPesach. It had two side posts and it had a lintel on top, and yet it was confined, it was circumscribed to 10 amas wide and 20 amas high. Why should that be according to you? And the answer, this is where the last point we made yesterday, which was the bottom of the Amud Beis, of Beis Amud Beis, Rav says, if you were asking me, I disagree with our Mishnah. Rav says, I apparently had a source for this, I feel that even with a Tzuras HaPesach, still it cannot be wider than 10 amas, and it cannot be higher than 20 amas. So Rav says, so as far as I'm concerned, the Tanna Kamma does in fact learn it from the entrance of the Heichal, and that is why it would be puzzle, and that's why it would be puzzle even if it had a Tzuras HaPesach. Good. That is all a review of yesterday's daf. Now we're going to continue today's daf. More discussion about how's Rav's Korah going to work. So the Gemara says, Elamiata, we're now in the very top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Lo Tehanele Amaltara. So if you're right, so then there should be no assistance of the Amaltara. Now, Amaltara is visual. You really need to see it. As you walked into the Heichal, so as we pointed out, the entrance of the Heichal was 10 amas wide from end to end, and it was 20 amas high. Top to bottom. Okay, over the entrance of the Heichal, you had decorative beams. There were five of them. And as you went up, so the beams themselves basically got a little bit longer, one over the top of the other. It looked something like that. That's a sketch. That's all it is. The Mishnah in Midos tells us about these beams. Now, what makes these beams notable is that they are notable. Meaning, as you walked into the Heichal, you couldn't help but notice. You looked up, and you saw those beams. So, they caught your attention. Now, as we're about to learn, the halacha will be that if you make the korah substantial and noticeable, then the korah can be higher than 20 amas. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, look, we're learning Gemara. We got to give definitions. What does that mean? Noticeable and catching people's attention. So, but halfway through the Amud, we're gonna ask that question. We're gonna give an answer. But right now, just conceptually, if the Korah captures somebody's attention, so then you can have the Korah even going higher than 20 amos. So now the Gemara wonders, according to Rav, let's think about this. The entrance to the Heichal had those specs, 10 amos wide, 20 amos high, and it had an Amaltara. It had these eye-catching beams on the very top. According to you, Rav, if the whole source of the halacha of korah is coming because of the entrance of the heichal, well, that would mean then that it couldn't even be higher than 20 amos, and that's not true. Meaning, as you're walking into the entrance of the heichal, it was only 20 amos high, and it had the amaltara, which would give us the indication that the amaltara will not help once it's higher than 20 amos. So the Gemara raises this as an issue. Lo tehanele amaltera, tehahechal amaltera havile, vafila hacheshem amosave, digavoa. So the Gemara just simply spells out the question. The hechal was 20 amos. It had an amaltera. Did not, the Gemara here goes to the Mishnah Midos, chamesh amalteros, shamila, hayu, hayu agabav, zulam alamizu, vizulam alamizu. So there were five of these beams, one placed over the other. And the Mishnah Midos says shel mila. Mila over here probably means some form of, some sort of wood, oak wood, if you will, whatever the case is. V'hai mai tiyufta. So, good. So that is the Mishnah Midos. And so the question is, on Rav, why shouldn't, or I should say the other way around, why should an amaltara help when meanwhile the amaltara didn't help our entrance to the Hecha? V'hai mai tiyufta demakitanya ha'id amaltaros ba'ulam tanya. Well, the Gemara tries to sidestep the whole question, saying, look, you don't know which entrance the Mishnah Midos is describing. Can't it be that maybe the Mishnah is describing not the entrance to the Hecha, but the entrance to the Ulam? So the Gemara says, V'hai mai kusha, dama tavnis Hecha, but ketavnis Ulam. So, okay, but the Gemara immediately reacts and recalls, and the Gemara says, not necessarily, the entrance to the Hecha could be just like the entrance to the Ulam. Both of them have these beams going over the top. Alama Amar Rabbi Alai Amar Rav. And meanwhile, we have the following halachas in the name of Rav. And here's the problem. Rachva Dalin, if the Korah is four amas wide. Okay, we're talking about now the width of the Korah. Now, up until now, we've been talking about the height of the Korah. The Korah cannot be more than 20 amas high. Good. We're going to learn later on that the Korah has to be one tefach wide. Okay, that's the halacha we're going to learn later on. But not only does it have to be one tefach wide, but we're also going to learn later on in the Masechta, it's got to be strong. Strong enough where it can hold a briach, it can hold a brick. Okay? And here, the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rav, that if your Korah is four tefachim wide, alfa pishen a briach, even though it's not that strong, or im yeshla amaltara, or if there's some decorative nature to the beam, where it catches people's eyes, afilu gvor yoser master mama, even if it's higher than 20 amas, you don't have to lower it. So the problem is a very simple problem. That's a halacha that was taught to us by Rav. So here, Rav is clearly saying that once there's an amaltara, there's some decorative nature to the cross beam, so then it can be even higher than 20 amas. If the whole source of it comes from the entrance of the hechal, then even the decorative crossbeam will not be good if it's higher than 20 amas. I'm Rav Yosef Amatra, Masni Sahi. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we can suggest the following answer. Even though Rav said this halacha, he wasn't giving us his own opinion. Maybe what he was doing was quoting a braisa. So the Gemara says, Man Ketanila, I'm sorry, Masni Sahi, Man Ketanila, Am Rabbi, Vachama Bred, Rav Baravua Ketanila. So, and the Gemara gives us a attribution. The Gemara says it was taught to us by Chama, son of Rav Baravua. The Gemara says, okay, good. Let's even say you're right. Let's now suggest that the Amaltara is not a statement made by Rav, but rather it's a citation of a Braisa. Okay, so what? We're still stuck. V'tikshel Rav. Good. So now what I'll do is I'll pit the Braisa against Rav. Now, I know normally in Shas we say that Rav has the status of a Tana. Rav could argue with a Tana. Okay, but when all said and done, it's difficult because here, the Amaltara, according to the Braisa, will help even if it's above 20 amas. Amal Rav dal ana mehacha. Rav says, look, I get to get excused from this whole discussion. Why? Because Masitza milo kashya adade. Because, look, you're right, you quoted a Braisa, and you're also right, the Braisa is difficult against my position. All that's given. But if you go back to yesterday's daf, we had a braisa yesterday that said, how do I know that a korah cannot be higher than 20 amas? Because we learned it from the entrance of the hechal. So Rav says, as far as I'm concerned, I'm good. I have a braisa that supports my position. You have a braisa that says that with an amaltara it helps if it's above 20 amas. Obviously that braisa doesn't learn it from the entrance of the hechal. Good. You have your braisa. I have my braisa. Elamaisach lemeimar tanaihi. Ledidi nami tanaihi. You obviously have to conclude some machlokas tanaim. I will conclude some machlokas tanaim. Good. So there we have now approach number one. It's not really it's not a clean approach. It's not an elegant approach. But the first approach is Rav basically will stick to his guns. The source of the halacha of Korah comes from the entrance of the Heikal. The entrance of the Heikal is only 20 amas high. A Korah cannot exceed 20 amas high. What if it has an amaltara, according to Rav? I don't care. Not going to make a difference. It still cannot exceed 20 amas high. Meanwhile, there's another brisa that says that with an amaltara, if there's a decorative nature to the Korah, if it's eye-catching, it can be even higher than 20 amas high. And Rav says, good, I like that brisa. I don't agree with that brisa. It's a machlokas tonight. That is approach number one. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar below Rav Masisa Adadi Lo Kasha. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, look, if I have an opinion, I would tell you that if had it not been for an issue with Rav, I'd say there's no problem whatsoever. There's no contradiction between the brisa that we just learned versus the brisa we learned in yesterday's daf. Adadi Lo Kasha. Le Rabbanan Kara Taima Mai Mishame Kera. Because look, What's the reason behind Korah? It's all about Heker. It's all about capturing people's attention. Meaning, as I discussed in the beginning of today's daf, Rashi over here writes, I'm reading Rashi, it's an important Rashi. It really touches on the core issue of the Korah. Rashi writes, Mishum Heker, Delech Se Inshi V'Leidu D'Takanta Avod V'Lo Lisi La'achlufi B'Rishus Rabin. Because as we discussed yesterday, and I said we reiterated today, the whole problem is that the Mavui is at the entrance of Rishus Rabin. In one step, you're going to be walking from the Rishus Yachid, which is the Mavui, to the Rishus Rabin. So basically what you want is some sort of marker that lets people know, here's where the Mavui ends, here's where the Rishus Rabin begins. And Rashi continues to write, Umishim Hachim Ha'anya Amaltara. Now, when you have an Amaltara, where the cross beam, the car that's being used, is not just a simple 2x4, but it's decorative. And again, we haven't even defined what that means yet, but that's coming up. But it's decorative. The cave and the mistakli ba inche afil amala mechaf ama ikahekera. And because it's decorative and because it's eye-catching, so therefore, even if it's higher than 20 amas, it would work. Good. So the Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that's why if the crossbeam has an amaltara, it would be good even if it's higher than 20 amas. And what about the brisa that we saw yesterday that tells us that the height of the korah cannot exceed 20 amas because of the entrance of the heichal? Siman of alma. That's just a mnemonic device. It just helps us remember the basic halacha, which is that a korah cannot be higher than 20 amas. And how are you going to remember that? Oh, it's very simple. You'll just remind yourself that the entrance of the heichal was only 20 amas high. Period. Now, V'Rav Nachman Yitzchak Hanicha Ilo Sfir LeHadarava El Isfir LeHadarava. So the Gemara says, what a wonderful approach, what a nice approach. Now, all this would be well and good if he doesn't hold of Rabbah. But what if he holds of Rabbah? Now, what are we talking about? Once again, for the second time in the Masechta, we're going to go back to the first daf in Sukkah. Amar Rabbah Ksiv. Now, in the mitzvah of Sukkah, what do we know? The Torah says, Laman yidu darasechem keep a sukkah so shafti, that the future generations will know that we sat in a sukkah. Meaning, on the yontif of sukkahs, we go sit in our sukkah, and what are we supposed to remember? It's actually a machlok is what we're supposed to remember. By the way, the halach is that you should try to remember both. Either the anani akavod, right, the clouds that surrounded Bnei Yisrael as we walk through the desert, or sukkahs mamash, or the actual sukkahs that were built, that we constructed in the Midbar. Either way, there has to be a remembrance. We have to, it has to hearken back. How are we going to have this idea? Oh, if your schach is within 20 amas, you'll see it. If your schach is higher than 20 amas, you're not going to know, and you won't be fulfilling the pasuk of Laman Yedu. Okay, and what's the problem? So you see that by Sukkah, once we're above 20 amas, it no longer captures your eye. So by Korah, shouldn't it be the same? Once it's above 20 amas, it shouldn't capture your eye. So you see that by Sukkah, they're arguing about what a heker is. So if l'gubitarte lamale, so the Gemara is just bothered by the following. If the issue by Mavui is heker, and the issue by Sukkah is Heker, why do you need both? What are we gaining by Mavui, which we didn't know by Sukkah? What do we know by Sukkah that we didn't know by Mavui? Once you're explaining that both halachas are predicated on the concept of Heker, so why do I need both? So Tzricha, the Gemara says, no, it's both are necessary. Diash min gabi sukkah, ba'akam Rav Yehuda kevin, dili shiva avida, shalta ba'ene. Well, maybe you can make the following argument. Look, well, what happens when we go into the sukkah? It's exciting. We sit down. Okay? A real treat. And we're stationary. And so eventually, what Rav Yehuda will tell you is, you'll figure it out. Meaning, you'll realize that there's schach over your head. Yeah, the schach may be above 20 amos, but so what? You're sitting down. Right now, you may not get it. But once, but soon enough, you're going to look up. Oh, there's a schach. Okay, good. I get it. But what's the nature of the mavoi? Traffic. People are in constant motion. So, if it's not above 20 amos, the argument you could have made is, no one's going to see it. Once it's above 20 amos, even Rav Yehuda would concede the point. No one's going to see it because everyone's walking back and forth, and no one's sitting, no one's stationary. No one has the time to stop and smell the roses and see the korah. So, ema modul le rabbanan. So therefore, I might have thought that the Rav Yehuda on the topic of korah would agree to the chachamim. And iashmin b'habah kamer rabbanan b'habah ema modul le Rav Yehuda. And then we could just simply go the other way, where if I only had the halacha argued about on the concept of korah, so maybe there the chachamim would say everyone's moving, traffic. We're in constant motion. No one's going to look up and see the korah. But in the sukkah, I might have thought that the chachamim would agree to Rav Yehuda because we're sitting in our sukkah. Eventually, we're going to look up and notice the schach, even though the schach is above 20 amos. And therefore, I need the machlokas by both. So quickly to summarize, essentially now what we've established is that Rav wouldn't agree to this, but according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the whole reason behind the korah is heker. It's that people will notice this is where the mavoi ends, this is where the Rishus Rabin begins. So it's all predicated on the concept of heker, and that's why it can't be higher than 20 amos. And the same achlokas we have regarding korah is the same achlokas we have regarding the schach of a sukkah. And the Gemara then goes on to explain why I need the Tanaim to explain it in both places, both by korah and by sukkah. Now, we've been saying that again and again, with exception to Rav, who doesn't agree, but if your korah has an amaltara, it can be higher than 20 amos. So if it's eye-catching. So what exactly would it mean if it's eye-catching? So one suggestion could be that you made it out of neon. Okay. Not a bad suggestion, but you're not going to see that in the Gemara. So what exactly would make it eye-catching? So So there are two suggestions in the Gemara, and one is kine. Now kine literally means nests, bird nests. Now, not 100% clear what exactly that means. It does not mean, I don't think it means, that there were actually bird nests situated on top of the korah. Hard to imagine. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, kagon kine ofos, hayu bolten mitachas ha'ulam lamala min ha'pesach. So Rashi describes that there were birds' nests which were protruding from underneath the ulam above the Pesach. Now, it could be that what Rashi over here is describing is some sort of engraving, meaning that there were bird nests, right, the contour, the design of bird nests that were colored into your korah, or engraved into your korah. Could be that that's what Rashi means, although Rashi doesn't say that, to be fair. In other words, but there's something unusual. There's some sort of picture, something unusual about the korah that makes it stand out. That's one suggestion. Now, the way they set out in Eretz Yisrael is paske da'arze, that the beams are actually made out of cedar wood. Cedar wood apparently is a very, very exquisite wood. And the Gemara in just a moment will say that it's extraordinarily chashuv. People will talk about it. And that's why it's eye-catching, it's eye-popping. Okay, two suggestions in terms of what exactly the amaltar is. It's interesting because, as we discussed the Mishnah Midos earlier this morning, we pointed out that in the Beis HaMikdash, there were five beams, one over the top of the other, although from our discussion over here, it seems like even if you have one beam, as long as it either had a bird's nest or it was made out of cedar wood, that would be sufficient. Now, mandam or paske d'arze kol shekein kine. Now, if paske d'arze, if cedar wood is capturing your attention, if that's eye-popping, So for sure, bird's nest engraved into the beam would be eye-catching. But But the position of kine would not necessarily agree with paske darze. Now the Gemara wants to know, what's so exciting about cedar wood? So the Gemara first suggests, well, maybe because it's really long. The Gemara says, so what? Your schach also is really long. And meanwhile, the Chachamim said it can't be higher than 20 amos. So it can't be that it's just simply long. Ela, kevin de kachashiv isle kala. So the Gemara says, okay, so the cedar wood is chashiv, extraordinarily significant. People talk about it, and that's why it's noticeable, because it's so chashiv. Okay. Adkan, we are now at a pausing moment of the Gemara. So once again, we're for the most part done with Rav's assertion that the Korah's height requirement and the height maximum of 20 amos is learned from the entrance of the Heichal. Seems like Rav Nachman Yitzchak disagrees principally with that position, and he says, no, it has nothing to do with the entrance of the Heichal. That's Siman of Amma, that's just a mnemonic, but rather the height of the Korah, the maximum height of the Korah, is based on the idea of Heker. Because you do not notice it when it's above, when it's over 20 amos, so therefore no one's going to realize this is where the Mavu ends, and this is where the Rishus HaRabim begins. So that's why it has to be within 20 amos, and if it's based on Heker, now we understand the Halacha of Amaltara, that once it has a design and it's eye-catching, so then it can be even higher than 20 amos. What exactly that means, the Gemara debates that point. We're continuing in the Gemara, Mitzas Korah B'soch Esrim, or Mitzas Korah Lamala Me'esrim. Classic Gemara discussion now. What if your Korah is right on the border? So in other words, there is a... Let's make a line of 20 amos right in the middle of the air. And what if part of it is above that 20 amma marker? And what if some of it is below the 20 amma marker? And as long as we're discussing in the context of Korah, we can also discuss it in the context of Schach as well. Mixes Schach betoch esrim and mixes Schach lamala esrim. What would be the halacha? Now, before we continue any further in this discussion, let's just for a moment think about it. Any part of the schach or the korah that's above 20 amos, well, what do we say about it? Meaning, it's nothing. It's nothing. Meaning, No. It's thick. It's just very thick. Right, in other words, the korah itself, we're talking about the actual thickness of the korah, or the thickness of the schach. And some of it is below the 20 amma marker, and some of it's above. So any part of it that's above, so essentially what we would say is, it's nothing. It's as if it doesn't exist. So now, by schach, what do we know the halacha to be? We know that by schach, you need more schach than shade. Okay, first mission in Sukkah, it's a basic requirement. It has to have more schach than shade. So, if I were to lop off, halachically, the top portion of the schach, so perhaps the argument could be very simple. I don't have enough schach. And the reason why it's no good is because I don't have enough schach. What about by a korah? Is it going to affect the korah? Sure it would. Because as we learned earlier in the daf today, the korah has to be thick. How thick does the korah have to be? Strong enough to be able to hold a brick. So, if I put part of the korah above the 20 amas, so I lop off that part of the korah. So now what I'm left with is a very thin plank going from end to end. It may not be able to hold the brick. So, to this now the Gemara discusses. Amar Rabba, ben mavoi kasher besukah pasul. So we're going to have four opinions. Of course. I mean, we have four permutations, so we're going to have four different opinions. So b'mavui would be kasher, by sukkah would be pasul maishlam, b'mavui de kasher, de amri kalush. Well, because by the mavui, it's a little bit weaker. It's a little bit thinner. Okay. So ganami lema kalush. So the Gemara says, okay, but by the sukkah, it's no good. So e klisha havile chamte merubim mitzilta, as we just got done discussing, the problem by the schach is that once I knock off the portion of the schach that's above 20 amas, I'm left with really thin schach. There's going to be more sun than shade. So, hachanami, kalasha havile korah, and he tells beruach. The Gemara says, all right, I'm going to meet the same problem by the korah, because once I lop off the top portion of the korah, So now basically what I'm left is a very thin beam going from end to end of the mavui. The wind is going to blow it away. It's also no good. Okay. And the Gemara says, in both cases, whatever's remaining would be fine. In the case of the kara, well, let's say that's made out of metal beams. In other words, it's strong enough to hold a brick. In the case of the schach, let's say that whatever's below the 20 amas actually is more schach than shade. So now we're going to ask the same question again, but we're obviously going to have to give a new explanation. I mean, the case hasn't changed. Half of the schach is above 20 amas. Half the schach is below. Half the car is above 20 amas. Half the car is below. And what we're going to see, and what we're going to maintain, is that in both cases, whatever's below 20 amas is good enough. In the case of the kara, good enough. In the case of the schach, good enough. So why should one case be kosher and the other case be pasul?
I'm saying if it's called a heker, what's the difference? What's above? I see something. What's above?
Okay, very good.
Understand.
Give it a moment. Amar Rav, mi parzakya. So the liyachid he la mitker mava de la rabbi mitker adaday. So the government says, look, people send a sukkah by themselves. Okay, lonely man in the sukkah. So you sing in the sukkah by yourself. If some of the schach is above 20 amas and some of it's below, so no one's there to remind you and tap you on the shoulder, you know, it's a very precarious situation. Some of the schach, in other words, let's say some of the lower schach starts withering away and all you're left with is the upper schach, which is above 20 amas. So no one's there to tap you on the shoulder and remind you, hey, that's no good. Masha Enkin, however, in a mavoi where there's people and there's traffic and it'll call people's attention if some of the lower portion of the korah gets rubbed away, so people will tap each other on the shoulder. That's one suggestion. Ravina Amar Sukkah Daraisa Achmira Bei Rabbanan Amavid Rabbanan Lachmira Bei Rabbanan. Now it could be that this is a second suggestion. This could be that it's just fortifying our first explanation. Either way, Sukkah is a mitzvah daraisa. We're going to be machmir. Mavoi, which is a mitzvah derabbanan, we're going to be mekel. So if some of the korah is above and some of the korah is below 20 amos, it's by korah, that's a tikkun for the mavui, which in of itself fundamentally is a rishus yachid, and the only reason why we have a korah is because the rabbis instructed us to do so, so we'll be mekel. So, Rav Ada bar Masna, Masna lashmaita de Rabba Ibcha. Now, when Rabba bar Masna teaches us his halacha, so he has Rabba going the other way, which is, I'm a Rabba, I'm a Mavui, possible Sukkah Kshera, by a Mavui it's no good, by a Sukkah it would be good. Maishna Sukkah de Kshera, Darmina Kalash, but Mavui Nami, Lema Kalash. We're going to go over the same discussion. The Gemara is going to think for a moment, oh, it must be because it's so thinned out. So the Gemara says, "I kalasha havelei kara ani talas beruach achanami. I kalasha havelei chamta meruba mitzilta. Ela akarchach nasi tzilta meruba mechamta. Hachanami akarchach nasu kishpurim shamateches." In both cases, in the sukkah and in the mavui, it's in the schach. There's enough schach below 20 amos. In the case of the kora, there's enough beam below 20 amos. Amar Rava miparzakya sukkah deliyachid hi rami anafshe umitkar. Mavoi de la rabimi samche adade velomitkra. The Gemara gives such a wonderful insight. The Gemara says, look, when it comes to the sukkah, so you're the one who's responsible for the sukkah. So you'll look up, you'll know. Some of it's below 20, some of it's above 20. And if some of it, which is below 20, is starting to shed and fall off, so because you're the sole responsible party of the sukkah, you'll fix it, you'll take care of it. However, in the mavui, who's responsible? Everybody's responsible. Okay, you know this just from experience of life. When you have more than one person responsible for any given responsibility, what usually happens, oh, I thought you took care of it? Oh, I thought you took care of it. And so therefore the Gemara says that when it comes to the mavui and the kara of the mavui, since it is not the responsibility of one individual, and because it's the responsibility of many people, it's not going to get fixed. So if some of it's below 20, some of it's above 20, and the part that's below 20 starts fading and withering away, so no one's going to tap each other on the shoulder. The Gemara says, the Amr Inche, you know, there's an expression, Kedera debeshutve lo chamimi velo kariri, that if you have a pot that's owned by partners, the pot never gets hot, the pot never gets cold. Okay, it's kind of like always right in the middle. No one's really taking care of it because each partner thought, oh, I thought you were taking care of it. Ravina Amar Sukkah Daraisa Lo by Chizuk, Mavu Darabanan by Chizuk. And the Gemara gives a complimentary explanation in terms of why we're going to be Machmer by a Mavui. I'll tell you why. The whole institution of Mavui and Kor is a rabbinic institution. So, it requires fortification. The rabbis need to make sure and ensure that people take this seriously. So even though I do have a portion of the Kor that's within 20 amas, and even though technically it would be fine, but because some of it's above 20 amas, we don't want people to monkey around with the institution of Korah. It has to be all within 20 amas. Masha Enki, when it comes to the Sukkah. Sukkah is the mitzvah d'oraisa. People take the mitzvah d'oraisa seriously, and so therefore, it doesn't need any type of fortification. Amai havi Allah. The Gemara says, okay. So now, bottom line, right? This is, Hedy, your favorite part of the daf, where the Gemara has a lengthy discussion, and then the Gemara says, okay, let's get to the bottom line. Rava baravula amar zevazeh pasul, Rava amar zevazeh kasher. So the Gemara says, bottom line, machlokas. Right, favorite part of the day. So we have one position, Rava baravula says that in both cases it'd be pasul, and Rava says in both cases it would be kasher. Okay, now, we just had a very long discussion in the Gemara about what if some of it's within 20 and some of it is above 20. Now, it's going to be a little bit frustrating because now the Gemara is going to note that it may be that when we're talking, when we give out this number 20, meaning that 20 is the magic number. Magic number by Korah, and it's the magic number by Sukkah. When we're giving out this number of 20, does that mean that the schach has to be within 20, or it means that the interior measurement is 20? Okay? And anyone who's done any form of construction, so you know, and not that I construct, but I was involved, so you know that whenever you're giving out measurements, you have to know whether we're talking about an interior measurement or an exterior measurement. So this number 20, what is it? Is it an interior measurement or is it an exterior measurement? Well, so the Gemara...
According to what we said.
Yeah, in other words, we just had a whole discussion...
So what's the question?
Okay, so, I know that's why the Gemara here gets a little confusing and frustrating, because after a long discussion about within and without, now the Gemara is about to point out, I think this whole 20 is an interior measurement. Why? Let's see the Gemara. We're on the top of Gimel Amud Beis, Chalal Sukkah Tanan, Chalal Mavui Tanan. When we're talking either about the Mavui or we're talking about the Sukkah, and we're giving this measurement of 20, 20 is an interior measurement. How do I know that? So, Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, Tain de Masayelach. I have a braisa. Yimat, because look, where do we learn out the halacha of Mavui and specifically Korah? We learn it out from the entrance of the Heichal. Now, we said the entrance of the Heichal is 20 amas. Is that an interior measurement or an exterior measurement? We know that's an interior measurement. Mavui shigavom esrim yosem mipischo sheheichal yimat veheichal gufal chalalo esrim. And meanwhile, it's an interior measurement. It's the halal of the Heichal, which is Esrim. Now, I know part of the complexity of today's daf is that about half an amud ago, we said that's Siman HaBa'ama, meaning that's just a mnemonic. That just helps us remember, but we don't really learn out 20 amas based on the entrance of the Heichal. And here, the Gemara is actually going back to the entrance of the Heichal and saying, look, the specs of the Heichal is that it's an interior measurement, so it must be that the Kor is an interior measurement. So I understand, I'm also a little bit confused by whether it is the entrance of the Heichal, it's not the entrance of the Heichal. I'm commiserating. So the Gemara goes on, Ezra, Rav Shimi, Baravashi, Rav Papa, Ketzer, Ayos, Aminiach, Korah, Misfas, Esrim, Ulamata. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says it has to be 20 below the mark of 20. It sounds like over here that the Korah, the 20 amma ceiling of the Korah is an exterior measurement, not an interior measurement. Emo lamala. So the Gemara says, okay, you see that Braisa? You see when the Braisa said the word lamata? We'll make a small change in the Braisa. Instead of saying lamata, we'll say lamala. Okay. Yeah, they had the ability to do this, make such edits. So the Gemara says, Vahal lamata ketani. Yeah, but Seriously, though, the Braisa does say the word lamata. So, akamash malan lamata kalamala malamala chalala esrim af lamata chalala asara. We have not discussed this yet, but we will see this shortly enough. And that is, how low can the korah be? Interestingly enough, the korah cannot go lower than 10 tfachim. Now that you're talking about. What's that? When you the game where you have to go into the stick limbo? Okay. So yeah. So 30 tefachim a korah. I mean the 30 tefachim. You can call that about 3 feet. Okay, that's a very low korah. Okay, every tefach is somewhere between 3 to 4 inches. Okay, 36 inches is 3 feet. You're talking basically about 3 feet. But the point being as follows, is that the minimum height of the korah cannot go under 10 tefachim. And there, that's an interior measurement. There's no disputing that. 10 tefachim, it can't be, you can't have that beam just under 10 tefachim. Meaning there has to be 10 tefachim of space, and then you put the korah down, and it cannot go into the 10 tefachim. And similarly, now when we're going to the maximum height, that 20 amos also is an interior measurement as well. Okay. Amar Abai Mishmei Rav Nachman Amos Sukkah Amos Mavoi Amos Bachamisha Amos Kalayim Amos Bas Shisha. And we'll start the discussion today. Obviously, we'll continue the discussion tomorrow. Now, when we're talking about an amma, so an amma, there's a little bit of latitude in the measurement of an amma. An amma is obviously a linear measurement, but as we're about to learn, it's not a standard measurement. Now, first of all, when we say amma, so what are we talking about? Amma is an arm, right? Bas Parah, remember, she sent her arms into the river in order to get Moshe from the river. I have a good feeling that everyone here remembers Rashi on the Chumash. Rashi tells us that her arm actually extended because she couldn't reach where she was and where Moshe was in the river. Okay, but amma is an arm. Okay, from the elbow, from the break in the elbow up to the top of the finger. Now, not all arms are the same, right? Some arms are longer than other arms. So, what are we talking about? So, we're talking generally about an average arm length. But even that, it's kind of hard to put into terms what exactly the average arm length means. Essentially, now, what we're about to learn is that there is variation. There's a variance in terms of how long an amma will be. It can be in the range of 5 to 6 tefachim. Now, 5 to 6 tefachim, what's the tefach? So the tefach is a fist. So in other words, if you make a fist and those distances made by the four fingers is going to be a tefach. And again, I know we could have the same discussion. A tefach also is not a standard measurement. Not all fists are the same. Again, we're going to suggest that it's an average fist. So right now, we're going to basically create a range of the amma where an amma could be somewhere in the range of 5 to 6 tefachim. Okay, obviously that's a big difference. Right, so an 18% difference between one amma and the next amma. Okay, so now with this range in mind, so which amma is it? Is it the 5 tefach amma or is it the 6 tefach amma? So what Abai is going to say in the name of Rav Nachman is it depends what we're talking about. And let's see all this inside. Amar Abaye, Mishmei Rav Nachman, Amas Sukkah v'Amas Mavoi v'Amas Bas Chamisha, Amas Kalayim v'Amas Bas Shisha. When I'm measuring Sukkah and Mavui, we're going to use the Amma of 5 Tfachim. When I'm measuring Kalayim, we're going to use an Amma of 6 Tfachim. Amas Mavui, Bamas, Bachamish, Lamayilchasa. What halachas are we talking about? Gova, height. Meaning, think about it. If I'm going to use the Amma made up of 5 Tfachim, obviously, the height becomes a critical issue. Because if I'm using 6, that gives me a higher. Right, a higher allowance. If I'm only using the amma of 5, that's giving me a lower allowance. So, we're going to be machmir. Same thing is true regarding the sukkah. Ula pirtzas mavui. Also for the pirtza, with the halacha we have not yet learned, but we will learn later on, is that if the entrance of the mavui is greater than 10 ammas, no good. Now when we say 10 ammas, what kind of amma are we talking about? Once again, talking about an amma that's 5 tefachim. Now, what about the length into the mavui? We're going to learn later on as well. Again, Gemara here is referencing halachas we haven't learned yet, that in order for a mavui to qualify as a mavui, it has to be an interior length, meaning as you walk into the mavui, it has to be 4 amas deep. Now, 4 amas deep, in order for it to qualify as a mavui, so the Gemara says, if I'm using an amah, 5 tfachim, that serves as a kula, because that allows me for a shorter length. So, command amar ba'arba tfachim. The Gemara says, well, first of all, that is subject to a machlokus, how deep the mavui has to be. Some say 4 amas, but some say 4 tfachim. V'ibaythim ba'arba amas v'rav amas kamar. Or some say that really it's talking about 4 amas, and with the statement of Rav Nachman, is that for most of the measurements of Korah, and for most of the measurements of Mavui, and for most of the measurements of Sukkah, we're going to use the Amma that's made up of 5 tfachim when it serves as a Chumrah. But in this particular measurement where it serves as a Kula, so we're going to insist on using the Amma of 6 tfachim. Okay, 2 more lines and we'll stop for today. Amma Sukkah ba'amas ba'chamish la'mahilchasa. Now when we're talking about the Amma of a Sukkah, again, we're going to use the shorter Amma measurement of 5 tfachim. Legova, we're talking about the height. Again, it serves as a Chumrah. Ula dofen akuma. And also for the halacha of dofen akuma. Did you know that if you make a sukkah and the schach doesn't reach the wall of the sukkah, but rather the wall of the sukkah makes a 90 degree turn and actually meets the schach, as long as that distance from the bracket, from the edge, to where the schach is, as long as it's less than 4 amas, that's fine. That's the halacha of dofen akuma. Literally a bent wall. And so therefore, when I'm measuring the dofen akuma, it can't exceed 4 amas, and I'm going to use the amma 5 tfachim. V'ha'ika meshach sukkah ba'arba amas delakula. The Gemara says, what about length and width of the sukkah, which minimally has to be 4 amas. If I'm using now the measurement of 5 that serves as a kula, 5 tefach amma, titanya Rabbi Omer, Omerani, kol sukkah shein ba'dal amas adal amas psula. So the Gemara says, okay, but we don't go by that shear. The Gemara says, first of all, we don't subscribe to that halacha, but rather the position we subscribe to is that the minimum length and area and width of a sukkah is Rosho Rubo Vishokhano. Or the Gemara says, alternatively, what we could say is that when we're saying that we're going to use a 5 tefachama for the most of your linear measurements of the sukkah, for the height, for dofen akuma, but for area, for width and length, we're going to need to use the six tefach ama. Okay, I know we're right in the middle of a discussion, but we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the from the next opinion of the Gemara. Today we spoke out the Amaltara and why it is that an Amaltara allows it to be higher than 20 Amas. We talked today exactly what is an Amaltara. We talked today about part of the Korah, part of the Schach being within 20, part of it being above 20. And then the Gemara says that when we're measuring the Korah and we're measuring the Sukkah, no, it's rather not the... It's the 20 Amas is an interior measurement. And then we ended off today's discussion talking about what kind of amma yardstick are we talking about? A 5 tefach amma or 6 tefach amma? Okay, I'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up, the next stuff.